The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
Often when a person turns from the Lord and forsakes the Lord and starts down a path of sin, they don't think about where that path is going to take them ultimately. They don't think of where it's going to end up. They don't think what ultimately is going to lead me to a broken relationship with the Lord. This is going to lead me to a broken relationship with my spouse, with my kids. This is going to destroy my career. This is going to destroy my reputation. This is going to bring so much shame upon me.
You've heard the saying, the grass looks greener on the other side. And it's true that many times the thing someone else has or is doing looks more attractive than what you're experiencing. The people of Israel had been living this way for generations, turning away from God Jehovah and serving the gods of the countries around them. Well, doing that has consequences, as you'll hear in Pastor Dan's teaching today. Going your own way and living your life without God will have disastrous results. Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Hosea chapter 9 for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
Hosea 9, Joshua 4, and I'm going to pray for us before we get into the Word. Lord, we thank you for your Word, and we thank you that it's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us out of your Word and that you use your Word in our lives to conform us into the image of your Son. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher and that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to your Word. We pray and ask, Lord, that your Spirit would be upon me to teach your Word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, just as a review, remember Hosea is a prophet that's ministering in the northern kingdom of Israel. His ministry lasted from about 755 BC to 710 BC, so approximately 45 years. And it's during his lifetime that Hosea witnesses the destruction of the northern kingdom at the hands of the Assyrian Empire, and he sees the northern kingdom carried away into captivity in Assyria, and that takes place in 722 BC. So Hosea ministered to a nation that was in decline. He ministered in a nation that was once a godly nation that was now on the fast track to judgment. And remember, the reason for the destruction of the nation of Israel is because they turned from God. They turned their backs on God. They turned from God's commandments and began putting their faith in the gods of the nations around them. They began trusting in false gods. In fact, if you look down to the last verse of chapter 9, don't get your hopes up. We're going to go through all the verses. Verse 17, "My God will cast them away. Because they did not obey him." That's the reason why. "Because they did not obey him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations." They did not obey God. They turned from God's ways, and that led to their judgment. Turning away from God led to the spiritual and moral bankruptcy of the nation of Israel, and ultimately to their destruction as a nation. So chapter 9 now continues God's indictment against Israel. And he says in verse 1, "Do not rejoice, O Israel, with joy like other peoples, for you have played the harlot against your God. You have made love for hire on every threshing floor." Now this is spoken to Israel, most likely during the harvest time in Israel, when the Israelites would harvest all of their grain. And in the harvest time, they would bring all of their grain to a threshing floor to separate the wheat from the chaff. You've heard that phrase before. A threshing floor was a large flat area, usually on a hilltop or in an open area like a field, where the grain would be threshed and the breeze would carry the chaff away. During the harvest season, they would harvest their grain, they would harvest their wheat or their barley, they would bring it to the threshing floor. Typically, a village or a community had one threshing floor that everybody in that town or in that village or in that area would share that threshing floor. And so everyone in that area would harvest their grain and bring it to the threshing floor to separate the wheat from the chaff. And we see this idea of separating the wheat from the chaff and the threshing and all. We see this used throughout the Bible, even into the New Testament. John the Baptist used this imagery of a threshing floor to describe the judgment of Jesus Christ. He said of Jesus, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Talking about the judgment of Jesus Christ. It's a separation of the wheat from the chaff. Harvest time now, so it's harvest time in Israel when Hosea is conveying this message to the people of Israel. Harvest time was always a time of great celebration. It was always a time of great rejoicing because all of your hard work through the year is finally rewarded. And it's like you have one big payday in the year. In fact, the different feasts that the children of Israel celebrated were tied to the harvest season. For example, the Feast of First Fruits. The Feast of First Fruits occurred on the Sunday after Passover, when the first fruits of the harvest were brought and offered to God, trusting and believing that God's going to provide a whole harvest. Now, we're told in the New Testament that, of course, Jesus was sacrificed on Passover as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's resurrected on the following Sunday. That Sunday is the Feast of First Fruits. Paul describes Jesus as the first fruits of the resurrection, the first of many that will be resurrected. 50 days after Passover is the Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost is also called the Feast of Harvest in Exodus 23:16. So it's a harvest time. In the New Testament, of course, the church is born on Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out. 3,000 people get saved. The harvest of souls begins on the Feast of Harvest. Then in the fall is the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is also called the Feast of Ingathering, when the Jews celebrate the final ingathering of their crops for the year. And so maybe, you know, the Lord says this to Israel here in Hosea chapter 9. Maybe he says this during one of those feasts. It's definitely during harvest time as they're harvesting their crops and they're rejoicing and they're celebrating as they would during the harvest. But verse 1, the Lord says, "Do not rejoice, O Israel, with joy like other people. For you have played the harlot against your God. You have made love for hire on every threshing floor." As I said, it was a time of great celebration during the harvest, time of rejoicing because of the blessing of the harvest. But God says to Israel, don't rejoice. You don't rejoice during the harvest. And the reason he says this is because what Israel did at this time is they set up idols at the threshing floors in the country. And they set up idols and altars there to those idols. In particular, they would set up an altar and an idol of the false god Baal. And they attributed the harvest to Baal instead of Yahweh, instead of Jehovah. That's what the Lord is referring to here in verse 1 when he says, you've made love for hire on every threshing floor. They're worshiping Baal there. They're giving credit for their blessings and prosperity, not to the Lord God, but to their idols. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, what do you have that you did not receive from the Lord? Everything that we have is from the Lord. Every blessing in our lives, all of our success, all of our prosperity, we owe to the Lord God. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift we have is from the Lord by his grace. We should never give credit to something else for the blessings in our life or for the good things in our life. And we certainly should never take credit for the blessings and the goodness, or think that we ourselves are the reason for our success. It's all the grace of God. It's all his grace. And here, God was blessing Israel with an abundance of crops and a great harvest, and they're giving credit to Baal. Baal, you did this for us. You are the one who provided. You are the one who blessed. And so verse 2, the threshing floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. I love what God does here. The people of Israel, they're giving all the credit and all the honor to a false god instead of giving the honor to Yahweh. And so what does the Lord do? He causes their crops to start failing. And again, it's an agrarian society. So suddenly the economy isn't going so hot. He begins to take away the blessings. And with the failure of the crops, they will have no reason to rejoice at harvest time. They're going to lose all their joy. In fact, Isaiah chapter 16, verse 10, if you're taking notes, there it says, gladness is taken away and joy from the plentiful field.
Pastor Dan will have more to share from today's Ring of Truth study in just a moment. But right now, we'd like to invite you to worship with us this Sunday morning. Here's Pastor Dan to tell you a little more.
I heard recently that many people who listen to Christian radio are not part of a local church. Hey, if that's you, I'd like for you to join us this weekend as our guest at Calvary Chapel, located in Columbia, Maryland. The teachings you've enjoyed here on Ring of Truth are from messages I've shared with the congregation at Calvary Chapel. We have two meeting times on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. You can find out more and get directions at our website, calvaryec.com. That's calvaryec.com. Now let's get back to today's message on Ring of Truth.
In the vineyards, there will be no singing, nor will there be shouting during the time of harvest. You know, whole families would go out to harvest their fields, and they would be singing. They would be singing worship songs, praises to the Lord, shouting for joy at the great abundant harvest. And God says, oh, there's not going to be any singing this year. You're not going to be shouting for joy out in the vineyard this year. No treaders will tread out wine in the presses, because there's not going to be any grapes to tread. I have made their shouting cease by just taking away the crops. There's nothing to harvest. And one of the things that this shows us is that the person who forsakes God and forsakes his commands will lose their joy. He goes on in verse 3. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim, remember Ephraim is another name for Israel, Ephraim shall return to Egypt and shall eat unclean things in Assyria. He says, they shall not dwell in the Lord's land. The land belongs to the Lord. And the imagery he's using here is that of Israel as tenant farmers or renters, if you will. If a renter trashes your rental property, you evict them. You kick them out. Israel will get evicted from the Lord's land. Now, in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 21, Jesus told this parable of a landowner who planted a vineyard, and then he leased out his vineyard to tenant farmers. And at the time of the harvest, the landowner sent his servants to collect his share of the crops. But the tenants beat the owner's servants. They killed one. They stoned a third. And so the landlord kept sending his servants to collect his share of the crops. And the tenants just kept beating these servants that were sent. And finally, the owner sent his son, believing they will respect his son. And the tenants decided to kill the owner's son. And it was a parable describing Israel. And Jesus asked the religious leaders, when the owner returns to his vineyard, what do you think he will do to those farmers? And the religious leaders replied, he will put the wicked men to death and lease the vineyard to others who will give him his share of the crop after each harvest. The owner will get rid of the wicked tenants and get new tenants. That's what you do. And here, Israel was giving the Lord's share of the crop to another god, to Baal. And so the Lord says, they're not going to stay on my land. And he's going to remove them from the land. He says of Ephraim or Israel, they will return to Egypt, meaning they're going to go back into bondage, back into slavery, not in Egypt, but in Assyria. He's speaking metaphorically here. When a person forsakes the Lord and the Lord's way, they return back to their old sins, don't they? Quite often, they go back to what they were doing before. That's what backsliding is. You go back. And quite often, you know people, I know people, that they walk with the Lord for a period of time, and then they forsake the Lord, they forsake his ways, and they go back to their old life. They go back to the things that used to hold them, things that used to enslave them in the past. He says, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They will be carried off to Assyria as slaves, where everything will be unclean. In verse 4, they shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, not when they're in Assyria. Nor shall their sacrifices be pleasing to him. It shall be like bread of mourners to them. All who eat it shall be defiled, for their bread shall be for their own life. It shall not come into the house of the Lord. When they're carried off to Assyria, they will not be able to make offerings to the Lord when they're in captivity. In Assyria, nothing they offer to the Lord will be pleasing to him. It shall be like the bread of mourners. And just to back up and just to give you maybe a little kind of Bible nerd rabbit trail for you. When you think about all of the commands and all of the laws that God gave regarding the offerings that they were supposed to make, in particular the grain offerings and the drink offering, all of those offerings were tied to the land. When you go into the land, God even says that. When you come into the land to make a grain offering, this is the kind of grain offering you're going to make. This is the kind of drink offering you're going to make. You're going to make a drink offering of wine. It's all tied to the land. It's all tied to the blessing that God's going to give them from the promised land. Once they're removed from the land of Israel and they go off into Assyria, well, they can't make those offerings anymore, because they're not in the land anymore. He says it shall be like bread of mourners, meaning bread that is in the home where someone has died, so it's defiled. It's unclean. In other words, what God is saying here to them is that they're not going to have any kind of relationship with the Lord when they're in Assyria. They're not going to be able to make the prescribed offerings. Once they're removed from the land that those offerings are tied to and they're off in Assyria as slaves, they're not going to be able to keep the offerings anymore. Next Thursday is the Day of Atonement for Jewish people. It's the day that they celebrate, the Day of Atonement. But the Jewish people today are not able to make the prescribed offerings that God commands them to make in his word. Why not? Because there's no temple. There's no priesthood. In fact, there is a Muslim shrine sitting on the location of where the temple once stood. There's the Dome of the Rock. There's a pagan shrine sitting where the temple once stood. And so now the Jews all over the world are going to celebrate the Day of Atonement, but they don't have a way of atoning for their sin because they don't have a temple. and they can't make a sacrifice. That's the judgment of God that prevents them from atoning for their sin. Now, for us as believers in Jesus Christ, we're told that Jesus atones for our sin. He's the atonement. He's the sin offering for us. But it's just like what you have here. He's saying, once you're in Assyria, you can't keep any of these sacrifices. Just like the Jews today can't keep any of their sacrifices. He says, the bread you shall eat will be for your own life, meaning you're not going to be bringing offerings to the Lord. You're going to be barely surviving in Assyria. And what the Lord is saying here to Israel, I think, is very important for us also. He's telling Israel to think this through. Where does this path you're on lead you to ultimately? Often when a person turns from the Lord and forsakes the Lord and starts down a path of sin, they don't think about where that path is going to take them ultimately. They don't think of where it's going to end up. They don't think what ultimately is going to lead me to a broken relationship with the Lord. This is going to lead me to a broken relationship with my spouse, with my kids. This is going to destroy my career. This is going to destroy my reputation. This is going to bring so much shame upon me. This is going to take me to a place that will be really hard to recover from. This is going to take me to a place where just surviving will be difficult, just getting by. And the Lord is warning them here, this is the road that you're on. You stay on this road, you're going to end up in Assyria, where you're completely cut off from me. And you won't be able to do anything there to please me. Now he says this again, he says this to Israel during the time of harvest. Man, when there's abundance, when there's blessing, when there's great joy, when there's celebration. And it's as if the Lord is saying to Israel, yes, there's blessing right now. Yes, there's abundance right now, but you continue to forsake me. You continue to forsake my commands. And it's not going to be this way in the nation in the future. This blessing and abundance isn't going to continue. Things are going to get really, really difficult. You're going to lose all this. And so verse 5, the Lord continues. And he's talking about when they're in Assyria. When you're slaves in Assyria, what will you do in the appointed day then? When you're slaves in Assyria, what will you do in the day of the feast of the Lord? You're not going to celebrate those feasts in Assyria. Again, if you continue down this path, God is loving and he warns them here. He doesn't want them to go down this path. He sees where it's going to end up for them. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance and salvation. He goes on in verse 6, he says, for indeed they are gone. These things are gone. These feasts, these appointed days, these celebrations that you're enjoying right now, this harvest time that you're celebrating, you're going to lose all of it. You're going to lose it all if you stay on this path. They're gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Again, he's speaking metaphorically about Egypt. Memphis shall bury them. Nettles shall possess their valuables of silver. Thorns shall be in their tents. He's saying here, when he talks about Egypt, he's saying, you're going to die as slaves in a foreign land. Memphis was where the Egyptians buried their dead.
He asked me how I know, and I say, rings truer than the finest crystal.
You've been listening to Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton. Pastor Dan has been teaching through the book of Hosea, and he has more to share with you next time. As you learn throughout this book, Hosea was no stranger to the cycle of repentance, redemption, and restoration. In his own family, there was much forgiveness and restoration that was needed. God allowed this to be the case in order to show the nation of Israel what this looked like in a personal way. Even today, God never wants you to stray from him. But if that does happen, his deepest desire is for you to come back to him with a repentant heart. Are you currently clinging to God as your lifeline, or are you at a distance questioning him? If anything about today's message has struck a chord with you, we'd like to talk with you. Please give us a call at 410-491-4592. That number again is 410-491-4592. You can also send us an email through our website, calvaryec.com. Just find our info under the About tab. If you're not connected yet with a local church, we encourage you to find a church home that will help guide and support you in your faith. In fact, if you're in the area, please join us at Calvary Chapel, Ellicott City in Columbia, Maryland. If you'd like more details, visit calvaryec.com. On our next edition, Pastor Dan will have more to share from the book of Hosea here on Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that crafted them. Well, I know because I know His voice, and it only takes willingness and a conscious choice. You need not guess, there's a ring of truth that is unmistakable, a knowing that you cannot find alone. And if you listen carefully, and sometimes even if you don't, you can hear the sound. Whoa. He asked me how I know, and I say it rings true.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.